We are going to be studying about a wise man's wisdom about finances. And I was praying about this, and I've been reading through Proverbs, and I really felt like the Lord just directed me and said, you need to see what the wisest man who ever lived, and that's in 1 Kings 3:12, when the Lord came to Solomon, he asked him, what do you want? You know, just, he could have said anything in that moment. Make me the best king in the whole world, the richest king, you know. But what did he ask for? He asked for wisdom. He knew he was young coming into this. He knew that he was coming into shoes that were huge. His dad had a huge impact on the nation, and he asked for wisdom. And so the Lord said this to him, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be again. So he is the wisest man who has ever lived. That's what the Lord said. So this is wisdom from the wisest man who ever lived. How many people know that when you don't understand something or know something, you go to somebody who does? Amen? So we're going to go to Solomon, and we're going to see, because the Bible is true just as much as it was in Solomon's time as it is today. Amen? Okay. So the number one thing that we're going to look at is a heart ready for the blessing. Proverbs 3:9-10, it says this, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. This is the first statement that Solomon made about wealth or finances. And I love the three first words that he says, honor the Lord. Why is that important? Because if you're honoring the Lord, you're reverencing, you're respecting, you are esteeming him, you are making him the highest point in your life. Amen? So if he's the highest point of your life, is money going to affect you adversely? Shake your head like this. No, because who's at the highest point of your life? The Lord. And when he is in his rightful place, everything else just falls into place underneath him. You're not going to be tempted to do the things that the world does with their money, because your heart is going to be on him. So that's the very first thing he said, was honor the Lord. Then he says, with your wealth and first fruits. Now I looked this up in wealth, because I thought wealth and first fruits kind of seem like the same thing to me. They're both, you know, incomes, but they're not. Wealth is for sustenance, riches, enough, income, livelihood, increase. What this really means is the what you already have, everything that's already around you. You're supposed to honor the Lord with even that. Pastor Steve and I were talking about this yesterday, and he said, when I think about honoring the Lord with my wealth, it means that if the Lord tells me to, if I get a brand new truck and the Lord says, I want you to give that brand new truck to this person over here, I don't ask questions, I just say, okay. Because that brand new truck is not more important to me than the Lord. So it's honoring the Lord with what you have. Maybe it's, you know, something in your home. Maybe, you know, the Lord tells you, hey, I want you to give your gaming system to somebody else. You don't question, you just say, okay, Lord, I can do that. Maybe he says, I want you, you know, that extra money that you had packed away, I want you to bless this person for it, with it. And you say, yes, Lord, I can do that. Does that make sense, everyone? So that's your wealth. That's everything that you have right now. Then it says this, then honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your crops. And I've been reading different books by different people during this time, and I've been reading Rick Renner's book, Life in the Combat Zone, and I was so excited because he explains about being a farmer. And I love Rick Renner because if anybody knows who Rick Renner is, he's like this man who's literally eaten Hebrew and Greek, and it's just all over inside him. He has just such a vast understanding of Bible times that he makes it more relevant. And a very cool thing is that farming in Jesus's times and in Solomon's times are pretty much the same as they are today in this region of the world. Isn't that amazing to think that? I was like, what? But it's because of how the crops are grown and how things are worked. But first fruits is like this. The farmer would go out, and the farmer himself would plant the seeds in those days, he or his family, because it was very strategic of where you put your seeds. And then when harvest time came, it says this, it says, when the harvest was just beginning to come in, the farmer and his immediate family did the reaping. This early harvest was small and easy to handle with just a few people. The farmer's family took great joy in reaping the first fruits. After all, this is what they had been working so hard for all along. Doing the initial reaping was their way of enjoying the first fruits and of inspecting the new harvest to see how bountiful it was. So it's that first grouping that comes in. For us, when we're working, we're like, okay, we don't have crops, we don't have, you know, vineyards. So what does that mean? That means whatever that you're doing as an income, you're taking the very best of that. And what does the very best of that mean? It means when you get your check in the mail or you get your direct deposit, the first thing you do after you write that deposit in your checking account is you write your tithes and offerings. Why do you do it then? Because you're showing the Lord you're first. You're the very best. I'm giving you right off the top, right off the bat, I am dedicating this part to you. Now, this is cool because I was reading in Romans also, and in Romans 11, 16, Paul takes it to an even deeper level and of explanation, and he says, if the part of a dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. Now, he's just using one illustration of wheat or probably barley in those days. He's using one illustration, but what it means is, if you're giving the Lord your first fruits, if you're telling him, I'm gonna give you that first chunk off the top of whatever income comes in, what does it say in Romans? It says, then the whole batch is holy. So if you're honoring the Lord, then everything else that you get to keep, the 90%, that's blessed. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited, super excited of what God is doing in our lives. He wants us to be blessed. Now, we say that word and we say blessed. Well, what does it look like, Shelley? Okay, well, look at this barn. I found this barn picture. The barn doors are open. Can you walk into this barn? No, because it's so full of hay, you can't walk in. That's the image the Lord wants you to see today. When you honor the Lord with your wealth, when you place him number one, when you give him the first fruits, when he's the very first person that you pay, when you mark it off to the side of in your checkbook, you're honoring him. This is the image he wants you to see. That your barns, your storehouses, that for us, our storehouses is banking accounts, right? Those are our storehouses or wherever you keep your money. They are going to be full. Say full. Say it again. They are going to be full, but not just full. He continues on and he says, full and overflowing. Amen. Do you know why they're overflowing? So that when you give to someone else, it's not going to affect you. Can you imagine if your banking account looked like that? It was so full that the bank is like, oh my word, I think maybe you need to invest or something. There's so much money in this account, right? Then you hear about a need, you go, oh, no problem. Here. Why? Because of the overflow. It doesn't even touch your budget. It doesn't even touch your income because of the overflow that you have in your life. And I love this next one. Your vats will brim over. And I was like, what? I kind of had an idea what a vat was, but I thought it was like a barrel. But that's not what a vat is. A vat is another name for a wine press. And in Bible times, they would dig a hole first, and then they would put clay or some kind of hard rock around it or in it. Most of them looked like clay. And then they would build a separate one that was lower. So I know this would be fun for all of us sometime to do as a, you know, walking it out. Get your grapes out, and walk around in your bathtub and stomp on them. That's what they got to do in those days to make their wine. Actually, it was called new wine, which is more like a grape juice. And so they would stomp and then it would go down into the next one. And so this one says they will brim over, but another translation says the presses shall burst out. Now, I want you to see this image because you're imagining they're stomping on the grapes and they are so full and so juicy that as it's going into the next little pool, it's bursting out. It's literally exploding into this next one. And it says your vats will brim over. When I looked it up in the commentary, it doesn't just mean that it would overflow and so they would lose some of their wine. That's not true. The vats brimming over would mean it would get to that top point. You ever poured something, it's just right there before it's gonna go all the way over and spill out? That's what he's talking about. It's so full that it's at the very top, just about ready to crest over. I don't know about you, but those are two amazing illustrations. And when I was studying in Bible college, when the author repeats themselves in an illustration twice, it means it's for effect. It's like when we would say it is way, way, way full, right? This is the kind of overflowing blessing that the Lord was sharing with us through Solomon. When you honor the Lord with your first fruits, with your wealth, then it will overflow. The blessing will overflow. And you may be saying, well, I'm not seeing the overflow yet. Simple question. Are you honoring the Lord with your current wealth? Is there anything that you have that you don't want to let go of? If there is, then make it right with the Lord. Just say, you know what, Lord, forgive me for holding on to that or placing that above you. I want to honor you with that. And then the second question is this. If you're honoring the Lord with the very best of everything in your crops and your jobs and your incomes, are you expecting the blessing? Are you expecting it? Are you looking for it? As a harvester, they had to look for the harvest to be ready and go out and get it. The grapes were there, but you're not going to get the wine or the juice until you what? Stomp on it, right? So we have a part to play. So be looking for that. I believe the Lord is coming to a point. We've already seen it in so many lives, but I believe it's just the tip of what God wants to do. There are so many things he needs done, and finances have to be a part of that. Amen? This is an amazing building, but finances are part of us being able to stay here, right? Even your homes. We need your homes paid off. We need you living debt-free. Why? So that you can give to every good work. Amen? How awesome would it be for your family when there's a need that arises that you're the one who meets that? Hey, I got this. What? Yeah, I got this. I loved it this past week. I've been saving up for our vacation with my kids. And I love illustration that God gives us in the natural realm for his supernatural. And I loved being able to go to the stores and then finding things and saying, oh, well, I probably shouldn't get that. I'm like, no, go ahead and get it. What? Yeah, and get another one. What? Yeah, go ahead, get some more. What? And the look on their faces was like, really, Mom? I'm like, yeah, I got money. I've been saving. Let's get this. And it was so awesome to see the light in their eyes and the excitement of, whoa, Mom, Dad, blessing us. This is so awesome. All these cool things that we got, right? That's the same thing your Heavenly Father and my Heavenly Father is saying to us today. Yeah, believe for that. Yes, I want to bless you with that. Really, Lord? Yes, I want to bless you because he's a good God. Amen. Okay, so grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just praise you for this word. We thank you so much for the wisdom that Solomon has shared with us that is still alive and true today. And Lord, we just pray over every seed that is sown. Lord, we give an expectation, Father, of that harvest. We don't want to be silly farmers that plant seeds and then never look at it again. No, Father, we know it's important to be looking and to be watching for the harvest to know when it's time to go out and bring it all in. And Father, I pray that you would show us even areas in our lives, Father, that we're missing bringing in the harvest, that we'd be able to see that. Correct our hearts if there's places inside of us that are still holding back, that are maybe not trusting fully, or we're just holding on to things. Lord, help us to realize that we honor you first, and you'll take care of everything else. We praise you and we thank you, Father, for anointing this day and blessing this offering that is sown. And we just praise you and we thank you for a hundredfold harvest in every person's life, full barns and those wine presses that are all the way to the brim, almost overflowing. We praise you and we thank you for that today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Let's just pray again for our nation. Father God, we just lift up our nation to you today. We thank you and praise you for godly leadership, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that this is an election year. We know the enemy is fighting with all he's got right now to shut down the good things that you're doing in our nation. And we resist him right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we gather together as one body, symbolizing a part of the overall body of Christ today. And we declare you are defeated in the name and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loosen your hold on this nation. Loosen your hold on this nation spiritually. Loosen your hold on this nation in the economy and in the area of health. We bind you in your efforts to steal, kill, and destroy. And America will continue to be a light to the world. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Lindsay, for sharing that. That's just a powerful, powerful thing. Amen. God's plans for our nation have not changed. Praise the Lord. And I want to share with you a message today. And if we do have note sheets available and pens. I think the COVID rules are take whatever if you take some notes, take it with you. If you take one of our pens, take it with you. Amen. Probably be, you know, bringing your own coffee and water for the time being. And we'll get back to doing what we've always done. Amen. And the Lord is so good. But let's pray over this word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this word today. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us. Make our hearts sensitive to your voice, Lord. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen and amen. Well, Pastor Terry Copeland Pearsons was speaking this morning during the offering time at EMIC, and she mentioned the verse, I think it's out of Galatians, which says, stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Somebody say, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made me free. Amen. So we've got to have some stand fast in us as the body of Christ, right? Some stick-to-itiveness. And I just want to commend you for coming back to church. Amen? It takes a little bit of, just determination to stick it out when the enemy is throwing a hiss fit out there. Right? And a lot of even good believers have bought into some things that the enemy is peddling out there. And just refusing to even leave their house, you know, and just we have to resist him. Amen. Yes, use wisdom. Amen. Yes, we pray for and submit to our authorities and so on. But we need to be people of faith, people of trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're standing fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And I wanted to title this message today, Really and Unquestionably Free. Amen. That's what the United States has been about since day one. Amen. And this weekend, isn't it cool that we get to start church again on Independence Day weekend? Hallelujah. God is so good. And you are free in Jesus. The devil can try all he wants to shut down the move of God, but he cannot do it. Amen. And when I say the devil, I'm not talking about people, okay? I know it's easy right now to point fingers at people. Devil. No. Democrat, maybe. Oh, sorry. Amen. How many of you know a plague is blind to party, right? And so we're all believing God to save people, to heal people, deliver people. But we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus and understand who the enemy is. Amen. But our foundation text for this comes out of John 8:36 in the Amplified Classic, and it says this, So if the Son liberates you, makes you free men, then you are really free and unquestionably free. And the enemy has brought into question some things over the past few months, hasn't he? Are you really free? You think you're so free, do you? Somebody say yes. Yes, I do. Yes, I am. Blood was shed so that I could be free. Yes, the blood of Jesus, also the blood of people in the military over the years that have given their lives on the fields of battle. We are a free country and we are people of a free faith. Amen. By the way, I know you read, you're a veteran, right? Any other veterans in the room today? Well, sir, we want to salute you and thank you for your service. Again, was it the Army? Yeah, U.S. Army. God bless you, sir. Thank you for your service. Amen. We need to continue to pray for our people in the military, our police officers and first responders, amen, and just continue to intercede for them during this time, amen. And Jesus is so good. But if the Son liberates you, so therefore, if Jesus has liberated you, who can unliberate you? Amen? And that works whether you are a citizen of the U.S. or a citizen of Iraq. Somebody say hallelujah. Or a citizen of China. Or a citizen of whatever, right? Canada. If Jesus has set you free, you are free indeed. And your spiritual freedom transcends your citizenship in whatever nation you're a citizen of. Glory to God forevermore. Amen? And Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. But as believers, we have to be watchful that we don't start buying in to the things the devil is panhandling, the snake oil salesman out there. If you haven't noticed, he knows how to push buttons and pull levers and pull strings and get people to get mad about this and upset about that and fearful about this and this and this and this. And, social media is full of that stuff, right? So we have to know how to keep ourselves. There's a self-keeping. Amen? And that's what I commend you for. You have obviously been self-keeping the past few months. Amen? Your house has been a sanctuary and is a sanctuary. Your vehicle is a sanctuary. Your body is a sanctuary for the Holy Ghost, and the devil cannot shut that down. Somebody say hallelujah. Your laptop has been a sanctuary. Your iPhone or your whatever phone you have, your iPad, whatever you use, has been a sanctuary. You plugged in and connected with Jesus in ways maybe more often than you had before. Amen. And God is doing some wonderful. And look where he brought us to now. Amen. This is amazing, truly amazing. We'll share more about this whole experience, see how this continues to unfold as we go. But I'm so amazed at the faithfulness of our God. Where so many would say, oh, you ought to be careful stepping into something bigger right now. Somebody say, if Jesus opens the door, you step through it. Why? Because I am really and unquestionably free in God today. Hallelujah. But what I want to do is I want to take some key statements from the Declaration of Independence and look at some things, parallel it with what's happening in the spirit realm from God's Word, okay? So in your notes, I put this opening statement. I'm just going to read some things to you and then talk about some of the things in the Word, all right? Here's how the Declaration of Independence starts. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. And I underline some things in there. I underline these sentences. Necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another. And I underlined, declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Now, if you think about that in the spirit realm, Romans 6:23 says this, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when I came to Jesus, when I got born again, I was doing this. I realized it was necessary to dissolve my political bands with death. I realized it was necessary to dissolve my political bands with something that connected me to the curse. That's the devil. That's sin. Amen? Praise the Lord. And to declare the causes which impel them to the separation, Colossians 1:13 says this, the Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and dominion of darkness. Why did I choose Jesus? Because I was under the control and dominion of darkness, of sin, of the curse. And I realized I didn't have to be anymore. Glory to God. Amen. This is what separates us today in 2020. This is 1776, but this was an anointed prophetic document here, right? Today, that tells me I am liberated from COVID. I am liberated from debt. I'm liberated from disaster. I'm liberated from loss. I'm liberated from the curse. Why? Because in Jesus Christ, I am really and unquestionably free. Because of what he did for me and because your faith is in him. Amen? Glory to God. He has transferred me out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son and into the kingdom of the son of his love. Do you see it? Amen. Let's move on to the next point here. The declaration continues. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal, are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I underlined the words, all men are created equal, unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And Romans 10:13 says this, for everyone, somebody say everyone, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, somebody just say the name of Jesus, right in your mask right there. Just remind this thing that Jesus is Lord over it, right? Pray in tongues when you're walking around through the stores in that mask. Smile at people through your mask. Let's see your eyes squinting here, right? Be polite and patient with people out there with your mask on, you know, hallelujah. Pray, look for someone to encourage, right? Why? Because you are really and unquestionably free, and so could they be. If they chose. Amen? So everyone who calls, that transcends nationality, skin color, whatever the devil's trying to throw at our nation right now with racism and all these things that are totally of the devil, right? Jesus says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Glory to God forevermore. So all men are created equal. We all have unalienable rights before God. You have the right to be born again, and once you're born again, you have the rights of the kingdom of heaven that do apply to the here and now. How do you know that? Well, didn't Jesus teach us to pray, Father God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Amen? So we can believe that, we can expect that, we can look for that. You know, when this whole thing first started, the Lord spoke in my spirit. He said, this is not going to affect you. And I just say, thank you, Jesus. Why? Is that just because he loves me so much more? No, it's because my faith is in him. Amen? And we're pressing and we're believing and we're trusting and we're actually coming out farther ahead than we were before. That's supernatural, right? There's no earthly explanation for that. Other than I'm really and unquestionably free. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes, somebody say whoever believes. So see, that's not confined to just a certain type of person. That's just for the person who chooses to believe in Jesus, right? Amen. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And guess what? You know something cool about everlasting life? It includes today. You don't have to wait for heaven to begin enjoying everlasting life. Now, sure, it's going to get better when we get to heaven, but that's how I need to look about tomorrow. See, so many people are looking at tomorrow like tomorrow's going to be worse. Not for me. Why? Because I am really and unquestionably free in God today. Tomorrow for me, you think today is good, just wait till tomorrow. I mean, is that the gospel? Yes. Amen. If your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, tomorrow even going to get, but wait till next week if you think tomorrow's going to be good. I mean, that's where our expectation should be. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Let's read another part here. This is back to the declaration. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and, can somebody say that word? Usurpations. This is old English. Bad things, okay? Bad stuff. the king of Great Britain here would be a, you know, a tool of the devil right there, okay? He ain't the devil himself, but the devil's using him, right? How do you know that? Because they're telling us. Repeated injuries, usurpations, whatever you said that is, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny. See, Satan is still trying to set up his kingdom on this planet, right? Over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. All right? And then if you read the declaration, you can look it up and read it. They go through facts of everything the King of Britain has been doing to kill, steal, kill, destroy, steal, kill, destroy, steal, kill, destroy. Who's that sound like? And they're saying no more, right? So I underlined those words, a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, having a direct establishment of an absolute tyranny, and let the facts be submitted. So here we go. John 10:10 says this in the Amplified. The thief comes. Doesn't say the Democrats come. The socialists come. Doesn't say, you know, the state of Washington comes. No, right? They're not our enemy. The thief comes. Only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have, now somebody say they is me, right? I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Now somebody say that's the Jesus I know. I mean, we left town this past week and went to the beach. We were supposed to go to Southern California and be in a great ministry conference that got postponed. Then we were supposed to go to Snake River and do some fishing. That got postponed because of all these things. And so I was like, okay, well, we'll stay home and paint the house. And then I realized, let the house paint itself. We need to get out of the house. And we prayed and sought the Lord, and we found a beach house. And we went to the beach. And we played, and you might have saw the devotional it was part of us at the beach. And we shopped, and we just had a marvelous time. Amen? Why? Because, here's why, I am really and unquestionably free. Amen. God is so good. Now, Galatians 3:13 says it this way, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So all of this stuff the enemy is trying to put on, and by the way, it ain't just this. There's other things that never quit when COVID started, that we're all still in our personal lives. But don't you know, Jesus became the curse so you could become the blessed. And that's not pie in the sky when we die. It's down on the ground while we're still around, like Pastor Huck would say so many times, right? Somebody say, eternal life begins today. And I am really and unquestionably free. Glory to God forevermore. And finally, as we close with this, one of the closing statements of the Declaration of Independence, and for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, they're referring to the Lord, right? We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. I love that. They're not saying they're independent from God. Now, that's a big difference, right? There's something to be seen here. God is not a Democrat because all roads don't lead to heaven. God is not a Republican because we can't do this all by ourselves. We need someone. Somebody say hallelujah. We need Jesus, don't we? So in our declaring that we're independent from the curse, we're declaring that we are dependent upon Jesus, upon his word. And we're also committing our lives as the body of Christ to one another, to love one another. Wouldn't it be great to get back to the book of Acts when they shared all things in common? I love Keith Moore has a ministry at their church where people who have extra stuff, just send it. They have a list. Extra brand new stove, and then they find someone in the church who needs a stove. Or a car, or whatever, you know? It's a marvelous thing to be in the body of Christ. We got each other's backs. And we pray for one another, we love one another, we serve God together. But this is the heart of how our nation was founded, right here. And these are timeless things. These are things that do not expire. Amen? Praise the Lord. And it says this in Mark 11, 22. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. That is a great answer to anything coming at us right now from any angle. Have faith in God. Somebody say, I have faith in God. And the word faith means reliance. I rely on Jesus today. That's how I know everything's going to be all right. Amen? Glory to God. And then finally, Acts 2:44 says this. Now all who believed were together. Somebody say, it's so good to be back together. And how many know this in this room right here, this is not all who believe. In this room, there is a great big body of Christ throughout the world that we pray for and sow toward and believe for. And we're reaching out and giving other people opportunity to come and join and be a part of the body of Christ, right? But it says this, that they had all things in common. Praise the Lord forevermore. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Why don't we all stand up on our feet as we pray together? Hallelujah. Everybody just say this out loud. Just say, today I stand really and unquestionably free in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me pray for you. Father, as I lift my hands toward the church today, I thank you that you are more than enough for whatever challenges each one is facing today. We say peace to every storm. We say healing to every body. We receive financial provision to every financial need. We declare Jesus Christ is Lord over all of our lives, over all of our families, over our home, over the church, over our businesses and ministries. We give you the praise today, Lord. I feel such a great anointing here right now. Just lift your hands and receive from the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise, 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 praise the Lord. Just praise Him. Just thank Him. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We exalt you. We acknowledge you. Somebody just say, Lord, I'm relying on you today. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody say amen. Praise the Lord forevermore. Praise the Lord. God bless you guys. You are dismissed.